It has been a turbulent decade here in Vancouver, to say the least.
Check me out, y'all.
Halford and Brough.
In your area.
That's right.
About to cause mass hysteria.
Sportsnet 650. 650.
Hughes a drop. He scores.
I've never seen a young defenseman like Quinn Hughes.
It's halftime.
Horvat with two. Horvat with three. Patrick.
Look at this.
And the cover. It was halftime.
Now Besser off the drift wall. Accepted by Patterson. He scores.
Playoff atmosphere. Look at the boys go. Crank it up. Let's go.
Papa's home.
Oh, honey, I am so glad you're home.
Oh, my alabaster doll. Gentlemen, you look great. No eye contact.
7:04 on a Friday. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. There it is. I don't remember that particular line. But now I'll never forget it. Dom was working feverishly during the break.
Mm-hmm.
Finding that
first time for everything.
Finding that particular clip, cutting up podcasts. He's a busy man back there. He's like an octopus, but only with two arms.
And yet he still has time to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk.
A friendly reminder that the Halford and Brough Show in the morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. Do you have business assets to sell? If so, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. In addition to the many things Dom was doing at the break, just feverishly moving and running back there in that little producer's booth, he finally managed to get our next guest on the line. We've been trying this for weeks. We finally think we got it nailed down. It's a little earlier than usual, but we're excited. John Shorthouse joins us now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Why are you guys calling me this early? What is that?
Cheech?
Yes.
Dom?
This is
John.
You
guys are so efficient. Is that just how this show works?
What? Dom?
Dom?
Why is this John Garrett and not...
Shorty gave me this... Hold on.
No.
Shorty gave me this number.
Wait. Shorty gave you a different number to call.
He said this was his landline.
And when John Garrett answered the phone...
I just said, hi, John, and Cheech said, hi back. I figured it was Shorty. It's early. He may sound different.
Hi, Cheech. How are you, bud?
Hello.
Yeah,
I love this. And I'm dating myself, but you guys don't have a Rolodex someplace?
We don't.
No.
None of us have John Shorthouse's personal line. Apparently, we only have some sort of random landline, which apparently...
Yeah,
this is your number. This is great.
Yeah,
all right.
Thanks.
Okay,
thanks.
Do you want to talk some hockey, Cheech?
Let's do this, Cheech.
Why not? You woke me up.
Dom, you're in so much trouble.
Yeah, you're dead, Dom.
But we have to maintain our composure here. Cheech, we're talking about some pending unrestricted free agents on the Canucks' blue line in Alex Edler and Travis Hamonic. Hamonic had the Gordie Howe hat trick last night. Now, I said he was the first Canuck to have one since Kevin Bieksa. No, he's the first Canuck defenseman to have one since Kevin Bieksa. As one of our texters pointed out, Bo Horvat had one, I believe, against the Bruins a short time ago.
Correct.
What do you think about bringing both those guys back, one of those guys back? If you had to prioritize one, which one would it be?
Well, just on age alone, you'd go Travis Hamonic. Alex Edler is... And price. I think price is the big thing for the Canucks in this cap world. You have to sign Quinn Hughes. You have to sign Elias Pettersson. So price is going to dictate a lot of what they can do. But I love Alex Edler. I think he's a steady defenseman, but he's getting up there in age, and he's going to have to take a price cut to stay in Vancouver, and how much of a price cut will he take? I think that's the thing that the Canucks have to look at. And Travis Hamonic is playing with Quinn Hughes, and it would be nice for Quinn to have the same defense partner for another year, and I think that would help his game, and it would help Travis's game too. I think Travis now is getting more accustomed to how Quinn plays and what he has to do defensively.
You know, Hamonic's interesting because you've called countless games this year. You've seen him from the beginning of the season where Jason and I kind of acknowledge, and not kind of, we completely acknowledge it. He was really thrown in before he was ready to go. given that how tough the season has been and that there's not a whole hell of a lot to play for right now, you watch Hamonic, and it is impressive that a guy with that much veteran experience and his age and everything, he's gotten better throughout the year. Like, he's playing his best hockey now.
He was in on the forecheck yesterday.
Like, you know, you would have every reason to kind of mail it in at this stage of the season, but Hamonic has actually gotten better and better and better, and I feel like they might have scratched some sort of potential here for next season because of the way it's played out for Hamonic.
Yeah, and he's talked about how now he has a role. And I think that at the start of the season, and you talked about it, that was he didn't look like he was ready to play. And physically, he probably wasn't ready to play. But remember, they were trying Quinn with Tyler Myers, and they were rotating him around. And then they finally settled on Travis and Quinn playing together. And Quinn knows his role, and he's a physical guy. And yet he can still play and get some points too, even though playing with Quinn, you're not supposed to get a whole lot of points, but he can make that outlet pass. And Quinn, you have to give him some open ice. And I think Travis is good enough offensively that you can't just ignore him over on the one side and then key on Quinn. It makes it a lot better. And he's a physical presence. And I think that's what the Canucks need. Also, Tyler Myers is a physical guy, but Nate Schmidt is not as dangerous as Travis Hamonic. Hamonic has that threat that he might just drop you.
What did you think of young Jack Rathbone, or what have you thought of him so far? Because obviously he deserves credit and for scoring his first NHL goal last night. I thought he jumped on that puck really well and had a good shot, and you could see how happy he was to score his first NHL goal. What do you think of his play so far?
Well, I like the way he can skate. I think that's the game now, is you have to have defensemen that can really skate. And Jack can skate, and he's a smart player, obviously. He's got his head up, and he sees the ice really well. All those hockey cliches that you use for a young player. The sample size is very small, but he is impressed so far. And next year, you figure, okay, you've got Nate Schmidt, Tyler Myers, and Quinn Hughes, and let's just say Travis Hamonic, and then is Alex Edler there, or say Alex Edler, and then Travis Hamonic is number five, and so the battle really becomes who's going to be the sixth and seventh defenseman, and you want to have a guy that can be in your top four, too, and I think that would be Jack. And you know, we haven't seen a whole lot of Brogan Rafferty to make that call. Jalen Chatfield has had more games than just about any of the other guys, and he's been okay. So I think Jack has an inside shot at that bottom pairing.
What do you think of Olli Juolevi's game? Because, you know, I thought we would see a lot of him in the lineup after Jordy Benn was traded. We saw him for a bit. We haven't seen him for a while. With Jack Rathbone coming in, what have you thought of his game from start to where we are now in the season?
Yeah, he's steady. But what do you guys think? Like, to me, it's been he hasn't gotten a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm. I think he looks more confident now.
He hasn't gotten
now,
a whole lot worse. He's looked adequate. Let's say he's looked adequate. But he's at the stage now in his career, and, you know, you hate to say injuries and things that have slowed his progress down, but I haven't been for a guy drafted as high as he was. You want to say, okay, he's getting better, and the curve, the learning curve is such that you figure he'll get that much better next year. To me, he's been okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he hasn't got a whole lot better.
That's kind of where I thought he was very tentative to start, and he improved a little bit. But here's the thing with Rathbone, right? He got sheltered minutes like Juolevi did, and Rathbone kind of took advantage of it in that he scored. If Ulevi's going to get sheltered minutes, he can't just be like, okay, I'm getting sheltered minutes, so I'll try not to get scored on. He has to add something to those sheltered minutes, and that's what I feel like he didn't do.
Cheech, I would say honestly that I think the most telling thing about all of this is that at this stage of the game right now, where they are in the season and what's at stake, that Juolevi's not in the lineup. I think that's probably the most telling thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's what management and Travis Green and Nolan Baumgartner have probably come to realize that, you know, he hasn't played that notice me kind of game. And like Zach McEwen last night, what was Thursday last night? Okay, Tuesday night when Adam Larson hit Quinn Hughes. He got that elbowing penalty high in the third period. And Zach McEwen came out, and Adam Larson was on the ice. And I thought, well, okay, here's a chance where you want to make the team and you're a tough guy and you do something and say, notice me. Well, last night, you noticed Zach McEwen. Mm-hmm. Darnell Nurse was after him all night. He's under his skin. And that's Zach McEwen is fighting for next year to make the team. And I thought last night was the kind of game that, okay, all those guys, Jimmy Vesey, Matthew Highmore, you have to play a notice me kind of game. And I thought Zach McEwen did that last night.
We're speaking to John Garrett here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. That once again, John Garrett, as we continue to be outfoxed by the clever John Shorthouse here on the program. Hey, Cheech, bigger picture here as we wind down what's been a pretty eventful regular season for the Canucks. What's it been like for you making a pretty significant adjustment in terms of how you guys do games? We've talked to Murph and a couple other play-by-play and color guys about this, but no travel. Everything's out of Rogers Arena. Everything's on a monitor. It's like a complete 180 in terms of how you guys normally conduct your business. I mean, hopefully this is only temporary and we can get back to normal soon, but what's it been like for you calling games this season?
Well, the home games aren't that bad. Like, you miss the fans and you miss the excitement. But we are down in one of those suites, halfway down. It's a much better viewing
point.
You're
the 200 level, right?
Yeah, we're on the 200 level, and you can hear the guys. And without the crowd noise, you can hear their voices. But the road games, it's almost like work. We're at the mercy of the director of the other team's show.
Mm-hmm.
And if, especially, we've had problems with the Ottawa games in Ottawa because for some reason their directors like that low camera angle shot.
Yeah, they
especially
do.
Especially on the power play. And you can't see any of the other guys. You can see two guys in the goalie. We've had a couple of games from Ottawa where we don't even know who scores. You just see the puck go in the net and you can't tell where it's coming from or any of the play stuff that happens behind the play you can't see because you're watching it on the TV, and that really makes it tough. And I feel more compassion for my partner because he's doing the play-by-play. At least I got a replay, and maybe on the replay I'll be able to see it. But with Shorty, you have to call the players, and you can't see the numbers, and you don't know who they're out there with because they tight camera follow, you can't see the wingers, and it's just, oh man.
Well, you could tell when Rathbone scored last night, Shorty was like, all right, who scored the goal? Oh, it's the young guy, Jack Rathbone. Good for him.
Here's what the listeners, you know what? Here's what the listeners need to know right now is that you guys don't have some sort of supersonic secret video feed that you're calling off. You're calling off the same thing that everybody's seeing at home. It's just a TV feed for you guys.
Oh, I know. Well, and Shorty is so good at it, and he's the best play-by-play guy that I've worked with 39 of them for which way the guy shoots, and then you catch a glimpse of his number. And he told me after Rathbone scored, he goes, "Oh, I thought it might be JT Miller, left-hand shot, and he just dragged it a little bit and shot it." And I'm like, "Oh, is it JT Miller? Is it Jack Rathbone?"
Cheech, finally, we got to ask you a food question. So you haven't been able to travel. You haven't been down. I know you and Shorty were talking about how you haven't been out to have a meal together in like a year or over a year. So when you get back down to the States and you have your option of any fast food burger, which one are you choosing?
Oh, it's easy. That's an easy one because Shake Shack.
Good choice.
The Shake Shack, and you guys have been to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
To the games there. And it's how far away? 200 yards from the rink?
It's dangerously close.
Dangerously close. Yeah. And there's one in Chicago that is about four blocks from the hotel, and Shorty and I always hit that one. And there's one in New York, the hotel we stay at. There's a Shake Shack right in the same building down below. It's Shake Shack will be, I'll be crushing Shake Shacks when we do get back on the road.
Normally, you don't have a right answer in an opinion poll, but you just gave the right answer. Shake Shack is... We all nodded at the same time. We're like, yeah, no, he's right. He got that 100% right. Cheech, thanks a lot for doing this today, man. We really appreciate it. I don't know what the future has in store for any of us, but maybe we'll do this again.
Well, maybe I can be on in the 6 o'clock hour. That would be better.
Yeah, we can just go earlier. We can go earlier and earlier every time. It'll be great.
We can pre-record.
Yeah. Thanks, Cheech.
Have a good one.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, that's John Garrett. John Garrett. No talking from you.
Yeah.
I can see you're going to talk, Dom. Do not.
I don't want to.
I don't want to hear it right now.
I don't want to have a Mikko Koskinen temper tantrum
in
the Sportsnet 650 studio because it is already beaten up enough.
It's true.
In here.
Jason doesn't want to smash his stick right now.
Did you know that Shake Shack started out as a hot dog cart inside Madison Square Park?
No, how would I have known that?
In 2001.
How would I have known that?
Well, I don't know. You like
I
knowledge.
Like Shake Shack.
Yeah. It's a hot dog cart.
I did not know that. I feel it's unfortunate that a lot of our listeners probably haven't had Shake Shack because it's not Canadian. There's no franchises in Canada.
I think the only one I've been to is in New York.
The one in Chicago is right next to the Marriott that we always stayed at. And it is like 2 blocks away. It's also dangerously close. They always seem to have Shake Shacks within real close vicinity of where all the hockey writers are lodged. Yeah. I don't know if that was by coincidence or whether that was
like the hot dog vendor following Homer around. He's like, he's putting my kids through college.
Do you follow my husband around? we got a lot more to get to on this program. Open segment coming up. Why don't we do some Ask Us Anythings? We've got like a million of them here. And you know what? Not only did I flag some, I also figured out how to navigate the Dunbar Lumber text inbox so that I can see them. That's the problem that I have.
It only took 5 weeks?
5 weeks. It's not that I don't flag them. It's that I can't see them.
Okay.
But I figured it out.
Well, yeah, you hit the flagged thing.
I know, but I had other issues as well.
We know that.
Yeah. Hey, I told you to stop talking.
Yeah.
No talking. You're on timeout.
Sometimes I just look at you and just like, you're lucky you're handsome. Right? You know? Yeah, you're just so...
It's my looks that have gotten me to this height in life.
Your looks in radio. Yeah.
Really
you're so dumb.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
But I figured it out, folks. I figured it out. Dunbar Lumber text line is 650-650. Get your What We Learns and Ask Us Anythings in because we'll be doing them throughout the show. 8 o'clock hour, Murph is going to join us. What's our other guest today? We have one more, do we not?
Joe Leary's coming up next, so no Ask Us Anything.
Thunder Joe Leary will be doing Ask Us Anythings on the other side of Thunder Joe.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knows that he has this nickname or not.
We should introduce him as that.
Halford Bruff, Sportsnet, 650. We say hey, you say y'all. Yeah, we both got pro football. Except we got big balls and a longer field. We say Z. Watch all your TV. You got a stronger armor down there, but men up here, we got stronger beer. 7:26 on a Friday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. What are we listening to here, Dom?
This is a little Tim Hicks, Stronger Beer.
Right, because that's what we got up here. It's actually, this isn't just like a clever anecdote or something that they sing in country songs. I think I've told this story on 1040 a few times. But the one year I interned with the Vancouver Canadiens, I lived with 3 ball players for the summer. And one was from Iowa, and one was from South Carolina, and one was from Louisiana. They thought that Kokanee was the greatest beer, possibly the greatest invention known to man, because it had the light, crispy wateriness of an American beer, but the alcohol content... to get them where they wanted to go. The boys were loving it that summer.
Did you have a beer that you drank, like all your buddies drank? Oh, wait a minute. Should I even ask this? In high school?
Why can you not ask
that? Yeah, why couldn't you ask that?
Well, I don't know. It's underage drinking.
No one's going to go back and arrest you.
No, I know. But, we're role models.
Right.
Okay, did you? Because Kokanee was ours. But it was like... the only one. And if you showed up with anything else, it was weird.
I distinctly remember drinking a lot of Shaftesbury in my high school years. That one came out a few times. Yeah.
Is that a heavy one or is that a cream ale?
The taste and content didn't necessarily matter as opposed to the price, which was very affordable at that time.
You would have thought that we were sponsored by Kokanee.
Right. Do you remember Mad Dog?
Yeah, that's a Mad Dog shirt.
Or was it Red Dog?
Red Dog.
Red Dog.
Red Dog.
Red Dog.
That's some Red Dog shirts.
Ask Joe Leary what he drank in high school. Hi, Joe. Jess here for the Beer Radio. We're excited to have this reunion here on Sportsnet 650. How are you?
I'm good, guys. It's nice to hear you guys again. Congrats, by the way.
Yes, thank you very much. And I was very excited to learn that we got to do this again, because I thought, you know, having a show from 6 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock in the morning doesn't necessarily lend itself to beer talk. But lo and behold, here we are.
And, you know, in the pre-pandemic world, gentlemen, I would be there in front of you with beers for you to enjoy on your spare time. But right. Unfortunately, that isn't allowable now. But trust me when I say that, that we'll be stockpiling these. And when the doors swing open again, you will be enjoying the fruits of my labor.
Well, speaking of the doors swinging back open, I think in the industry right now, there's a lot of breweries, brew houses, bars, and they're all kind of saying, we've got patios, so we're staying alive, but it's a very difficult time. I imagine that collectively, given how ingrained you are in the local beer community, that you're hearing a lot of anecdotes, probably seeing it firsthand as well, about how difficult it is right now for a lot of people in that industry.
It is difficult indeed. And again, you know, the bars and restaurants and tasting rooms and all that are certainly at the mercy of the health regulations and restrictions, and they're doing their level best to try and compete. You know, you talk about patios. Well, I mean, if you've got a sidewalk now, that's become a patio. So they're doing what they can do. And I think it's encouraging to see that governments are supportive, even though, you know, the restrictions are tough on them. Mm-hmm. But the restrictions have been limited, I guess, you know, to you know, allowing them to at least have some opportunity to try and maintain. But yeah, it's been tough. But I'll tell you what's really funny, guys, is you talk to a lot of these brewers. And actually, the pandemic has been to their advantage in the sense that they're now allowed to, you know, do things like deliveries and takeouts that perhaps they weren't able to do before. So it has been a trying time for them. But I think for the most part, you know, the sponsors I've talked to, they're maintaining, and everybody is hoping, fingers crossed, that, you know, come the end of the May 2-4 weekend, that the restrictions will be lifted a bit to at least allow back in person and in house, because a lot of these places aren't very big to begin with. And if you've only got like a table of four or two tables of four outside, that's not really paying the bills.
How challenging has it been for the owners and the operators of these places to manage their staff hiring and then letting go of workers? Because I imagine when things open up again, there's going to be this mad rush to hire people, and there just aren't going to be enough workers out there.
Point taken, Jason. In fact, I can't even count the number of times I'll see on my Twitter feed, you know, pubs and breweries that are saying we're hiring. And because they've had to do that, they've had to let their staff go. In fairness to the staff, it's not that they want to, but they don't have the business for them, and they want them to be at least be able to, you know, take some government support if they can possibly get it. So yeah, pretty much right now it's kind of a hiring bonanza around the industry, and I think that will be the norm going forward. Because, and again, nobody knows what the future holds. Nobody knows exactly what Dr. Bonnie has in mind when, you know, the end of the May 2-4 weekend. But the estimation is that maybe we'll be allowed to see these places reopen, at least to some degree, maybe not with full operating hours, but at least to some degree. And if that's the case, there's going to be a shortage of personnel at a lot of these places.
We're speaking to Joe Leary here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Joe, of course, is the host of Jess Here for the Beer Radio, which is on Sportsnet. Now, I know the show is often live on location and does a good job of, you know, promoting some of these places and some of the breweries that maybe aren't in the public sphere or don't have a huge advertising budget. The show goes 9 o'clock this Sunday. Is it going to be on? Can you guys do anything on location right now? How's it been for Jess Here for the Beer Radio in terms of getting out into the communities and engaging with a lot of these breweries, bars, brew pubs, et cetera?
Well, Mike, that has been a challenge. There's no doubt
imagine,
about it. I mean,
yeah.
we've been doing less shows because of the fact that we record them on location, and if locations are shut, there's not much we can do. We did, you know, our friend AJ from AJ's Pizza, we do our other show on Sportsnet called the RTB Show.
Yes.
And AJ's is a fairly small place to begin with, so we did it actually on his patio. Now, his patio is called Broadway. His patio is called a sidewalk.
I've seen it.
Yeah. And like where we're sitting doing the show, I mean, there's literally a bus right there. So you have, you know, typical East Vancouver sounds. You have traffic, you have semi-trailers, you have buses, you have ambulances going by. So we've been at sort of at the mercy of places that do have patios right now, and we found a great one. It's called Park Drive on Commercial at 2nd Avenue. But again, you know, and we feel obligated to want to do the show, but at the same time, I don't want to take up someone's valuable patio space for, you know, other perhaps paying customers. So we've tried to find a happy dance where we can sort of get away with this. But yeah, we're doing the show from Park Drive. It'll air on Sunday night at 9 o'clock. And we've got some of our favorite sponsors. We've got Britannia Brewing from Steveston. We've got the House of Funk in North Vancouver. One of the new breweries in Langley. This is now in North Langley. Now, this is interesting. There's City of Langley and District of Langley. But each has its own beer community. So Smuggler's Trail is from North Langley.
Okay.
We've got Callister Brewing. And we'll visit Victoria on the BC Ale Trail.
Sounds good. It's 9 o'clock Sunday night, just here for the Beer Radio. Joe, great doing this again. Always fun. Enjoy the weekend. We look forward to getting those beers, and we'll talk again maybe next Friday.
You too. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks. That's Joe Leary, Thunder Joe Leary, here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. I should remind you that the Halford and Brough Show in the morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you have business assets to sell, email them at sales@ableauctions.ca. Lots more to get to on the program. We're going to go to break now so that we can have a big, long Ask Us
Why are you laughing,
segment.
Jason?
I'm
Why?
Laughing because everyone is texting into the Dunbar Lumber text line with the beers they drank in high school.
Right. What beer did you drink in high school?
Old Mill.
Keto already? Old Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, a good choice. Here's the thing. When I was a kid, as I say, when I was in my the infancy of buying beer.
Formative drinking years.
Old Mill wasn't around.
When you were 11.
Yeah, right. Old Mill wasn't around. So it was nice that you got to try
it. Well, it was. It was in the States, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't, like, PBR wasn't available. Mm-hmm. I know we would have been, that would have been right up there.
I like this one from Bobby
in
Vancouver.
We can dive into this after the break, too.
You can turn off your microphone.
You go to hell, Dom Shramati.
Bobby in Vancouver, good morning. Schooner was my go-to in high school, 82 to 87.
I think that... That was sent, like, by Don Taylor, if I'm not mistaken.
I
heard
bet
him
those,
reference Schooner before.
I bet those were in the stubby bottles, too.
Yeah.
Bobby in Vancouver.
Mickey's in a stubby bottle. We also drank a bunch of those back in the day. They were good.
Mickey's?
Yep.
What's that?
It's a type of beer, stubby green bottle. You can still get
Never
them now.
I've heard of that.
It's not very good. I wouldn't recommend trying it now.
I like this one. I went to the same high school as Brough. Confirmed, Kokanee was the go-to.
Yep.
But I remember a weird O'Keefe extra old stock period.
Nice.
That was akin to the Canucks Jimmy Vesey experiment.
Your dad drank it. Your grandpa drank it. It's Canada's beer. Extra old stock.
My dad was Labatt Blue.
Yep, that's another one.
Yeah.
We're loving what we're seeing, Dom.
I remember taking a six-pack and him not noticing. That was a big win for me.
Of Labatt's Blue?
Yeah, Labatt Blue.
It's going to get you where you want to go every time. Lots more to get to on the program. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. $7.39 on a Friday. It's an Ask Us Anything Friday here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. And we actually kind of flipped the script because we asked you, the listeners, something. What was your high school or college beer of choice? And everyone knows exactly what we're talking about. This is the introduction to beer, your formative drinking years, also almost exclusively on a budget.
But also
you were one of them rich kids.
But also I think...
You didn't know any better.
You would all gravitate to the same brand, whatever brand that was, just to fit in.
Right.
I've got these two.
Good point, because no one was going off the board and getting like a Gooseberry Gosa or anything. Like,
it wasn't. Guys, have you tried this? It's so hoppy.
Craft beer wasn't a thing.
No. Yeah, like it existed.
Beer drinkers back in the day were not the insufferable bunch that they are
it's
now.
True,
could
right?
you imagine like an insufferable craft beer drinker in high school?
No, yeah. I could not. Now, guys, if you'll notice, it's got floral notes. In the back.
Who gives a damn?
Yeah.
Probably another.
He's like, we're drinking at an elementary school under under a jungle gym. I don't care about the hops.
There were a lot of Wildcat strong drinkers that are listening to the Halford and Brough Show. That was bang for your buck, though,
my
right?
answer is going to be the same. It gets you where you want to go.
Mm.
The boys are loving it. It gets you where you want to go.
You know what the wateriest budget beer was back in the day? Rolling Rock.
Rolling Rock, yeah.
That's an American beer, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had a brief... Some of these beers had, like, brief forays into Canada. What was the Brazilian one? Maca Bavaria?
Yeah,
do you remember that one? And everyone,
I don't remember that at all.
It was basically a Corona in a different bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone had them for one summer. Like, they were very popular.
It's Corona season soon.
It
it's
is.
Summer.
It is
a summer. That's a summer beer.
Have you seen the Coronitas, the little Coronas?
Yeah, who hasn't? Who hasn't bought those by accident, showed up to a party?
Come on. Oh, man.
I'm going to need to borrow some of your beers, bud.
I'm out of Coronitas.
The baby carrots of beer.
that's what they are.
Why are they so cheap?
Oh, that's why. A lot of people weighing in with Moosehead, yep. Extremely popular one. Mm. But I also felt like that was
a bit uppity,
and that was
was
it really?
Yeah, it was because it was more upscale.
Are
than
we sure?
Your
I don't think
and
it was. I think Moosehead's allure was the East Coast, right? It was the beer of the Maritimes.
Maybe that was it. Yeah.
Now, a couple people have said Foster's. I remember when Foster's came onto the scene and people were treating it like a craft and/or import beer.
That's the one you have to drink warm, right?
Until they tried it.
Was that the when we had North America as a collective society had this fascination with Australia?
Yeah, the short-lived.
Because of Crocodile Dundee,
much. And to a lesser degree, Yahoo Sirius.
Much lesser degree.
Yeah, but we had a brief flirtation with Australia as being interesting.
Yeah.
And then we went back to realizing that it wasn't.
I don't know if you guys...
And then they all went to Whistler to work at a bar and dig a half pipe.
Dom, you wouldn't remember this. Halford, you might.
Uh-huh.
During this Australia fascination, Aussie Rules Football came to BC Place.
I recall.
And I think 40,000 people went.
Just the spectacle.
And they advertised Aussie Rules Football as probably, like, it's the most violent sport in the world. Like, you'll love it there. And it was like, there are no rules in Aussie Rules Football. And then we all went out to watch this spectacle because you wouldn't be able to watch the games on TV like you can now. And there was no YouTube. You were like, wow, this is going to be amazing. And you were like, wow, there sure are a lot of rules to this lawless game.
Can you tell me the two teams that played that day on... 1987.
Geelong and Sydney.
Wait, it was Melbourne and Sydney.
Yeah.
That's okay. All.
By the way, Geelong, which is the name I came up with earlier, they are one of the most decorated footy clubs in Australia.
Okay. It's Geelong,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Geelong, I think Grant Long.
You might have to do some work here, Grizzly. Dom, but one of the more enjoyable things of Aussie Rules Football are the fight songs that they play before a game. Do you ever watch it?
Is it similar to the haka?
No. Oh. It's like, it sounds like an old school, I can't even explain it. It sounds like a song, like, I guess, like the Whitecaps, white is the color.
Sure.
Like, but very well produced and with like a full band and everything.
I have the Sydney Rabbitohs fight song, if you'd like that.
Okay,
one.
We'll see if this is what I'm talking about. Okay.
Great. We are South Sydney, united we stand.
No. Find the Geelong fight song. It's like
loves Geelong.
Yeah. Anyway, let's do some Ask Us Anythings while
let's just Google Australian rules football fight songs.
Yes, here we go. Come on, Geelong.
We are Geelong, the greatest team of all.
So they play this every game, and the fans are just like, doop-de-doo, we love this.
I like to acknowledge that you've been saying it wrong this entire time.
Geelong. I heard it.
Yeah, that's an Australian accent.
It's not. It's just Geelong.
I feel like this isn't hitting like I thought it would. This feels like they're doing some sort of Australian polka.
Well, exactly. That's why I said. What do you mean it's not hitting?
All right. Just relax. Let's do some Ask Us Anything.
Really triggered there.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
How can you not enjoy that?
I enjoyed it fine. I thought it was going to be like a fight song.
Define enjoyed, too. Like,
What do you mean you thought it was going to be a fight song? Do you not feel fired up after that?
Not in the slightest. Do you?
I feel sleepy.
After the polka?
Yeah. Makes me want a beer, actually.
A Labatt Maximum Ice, 7.2%. We've got a lot here that we need to get into. Let's do some Ask Us Anythings, though, for real, okay? This one, I don't love this because I feel like Adam the Bath Guy assumes that we've been doing this for our entire life.
Is he former Bath Guy? Or
Adam the former Bath Guy. Ask Us Anything Friday. If you guys, Dom included, weren't working in radio, do you think you could handle a 40-hour work week? And what would you be doing? What did you think we did before this? Do you think I've spent my 40 years on the planet exclusively working three-hour shifts?
Yeah.
I had terrible jobs. Mm-hmm. I was a graveyard security guard at a hotel. I worked in a fish packing plant. I've done, like...
I worked on one of those junk trucks, like 1-800-JUNK, but yeah. Not them.
Also, I don't know if people understand. We work in radio. I don't make that much. When I was working at 1040,
I should be
worked...
a host. We make a lot of money.
Yeah, I know you
do make money.
I know. And you get free cars for your ads.
Yeah. Yes.
I would work two jobs at 1040. Mm-hmm. I'd do a morning shift at like a retail store or something. Then I'd go to work at 1040.
Is that why you feel the need
to steal
our skip the dishes credit?
Yeah.
I didn't steal anything. Get over it. And now I'm thinking, you know, I've all day after this morning show, maybe I'll drive for one of the ride hailing apps. I can make a few extra dollars.
Yeah. What
is to improve
this whole,
your attitude?
I want this facade that we don't work 40 hours a week.
I want to circle back on you working retail. Where did you work?
I worked at a running shoe store in White Rock.
What was it called?
It just Pen Run.
Oh, it was like an independent.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh.
Family
was
run
that,
business.
Was that pre-keto?
Yes.
Because they were like...
No. Well, it was in between.
You need a man like me?
Really?
Yeah.
That's where you go with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, interesting.
Ask Us Anything from Chris in Mission. Can any of you do that loud whistle with your fingers in your mouth?
Yeah, I can.
Can you? Can you do it on the air right now?
I'm not going to do it on air. It would sound terrible in the
mic. Who cares? Prove it.
No, don't do it. Don't, please. It's terrible.
It's a terrible idea.
You can do that? How did you learn?
YouTube.
You
I'm
went
not
on.
Even kidding you.
Really?
I was like,
you
one
wanted
day,
to learn.
I was bored one day. I was like, how do you do this?
Interesting.
I just learned.
Here's one from Mike in Aldergrove. Ask Us Anything. What's a good Mother's Day gift? And the answer to that is flowers.
Yep.
Real original.
FBI.
No.
By
hold
Irene.
On. Hold on. I had this debate the other day.
With who? Your mother?
No. With my girlfriend. Okay. Now, she has two kids that
also
are five and seven.
Also a mother.
Okay.
And she was like, what are you going to get me for Mother's Day?
Wow.
And I was like, flowers, maybe. And... maybe like breakfast in bed. Gifts are to be given on Christmas and your birthday. Period.
Hmm. Is this what she said?
No. She was lobbying for a gift. Right. I was like, are you, what do you mean?
I'm sure this convo went over real well.
It did not go over well.
So you're
We had the convo. The funny thing is we had the convo at her birthday dinner.
Ooh.
Oh.
Where so I also did not get her a gift.
No, I did get her a gift. I got her a great gift. I got her a full set of golf clubs because she wants to start golfing, and I want to golf with her. So she got a full set of golf clubs. And at the birthday dinner, she's asking me what gift she's going to get at Mother's Day. I'm just like, no, there are two gift days all year. It is Christmas and a birthday.
Hold on. Do you not see what she's doing? You got her golf clubs. She asked you what gift you're getting her for Mother's Day.
That's what she asked
for.
No, she's taking lessons.
She's clearly sending you a message. This gift is not good enough. You have a redemption shot on Mother's Day.
Snap it up, bro.
No.
How did you not pick up on that?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that.
Well, if she's bringing it up after you gave her the golf clubs, clearly it was.
No, it's just greed.
I've got time
greed.
For your theory.
It's greed. It's full-on greed.
I like different perspectives.
Okay.
I've got time for his theory.
We'll throw it out to listeners.
Yes.
Mother's Day gifts. Is this a thing that you get? Like, I'm not talking about flowers. Flowers are a given. Flowers, every son or daughter should get flowers for their mom on Mother's Day and spend some time, maybe prepare a meal for them. Mm-hmm. But an actual gift, draw the line.
I feel like you're drawing the line at just birthday and Christmas, right? What about the anniversary? What do you do there? Is that that's flowers and dinner?
Jewelry.
That's no tent. That's
no, that's a dinner. That's a dinner. That's a dinner.
Jewelry. Oh my gosh.
You and Dom would never work out. It's a gap too far. Too far.
And also people texting in saying like, don't golf with your girlfriend. No. I have always majorly disagreed with that. That is what you want. You want someone to get a hobby like that. So, you know, as you grow older, hopefully together, you can be like, all right, let's, what are we doing this weekend? Do you want to golf? I want to golf. Otherwise, she's like, well, you're not going golfing because we're going to spend some time together. And with my girlfriend, we'd be doing the Grouse Grind or something like that. I'd rather go golfing.
Have you seen that movie, I Love You, Man? Jason Segel and Paul Rudd.
Take it away. Hold on. Just go. I'll find it.
This is the entirely different theory, as a matter of fact. And it's the exact same sport. So in case you don't know the premise of the movie, Paul Rudd is engaged to be married, and he has no friends. No male friends whatsoever. So he meets Jason Segel, and they become friends in adulthood, right? But they've got very conflicting, contrasting styles and opinions on life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the clip ready? Wait for it.
Hold on. I need to bring up the prop because they're swearing. Just keep going.
We'll do it on the other side. Okay. How about that?
Duncan the Chef texts in, Mother's Day is flowers and lunch for those greedy hens.
The Halford and Bruff Show in the Morning is brought to you by Able Auctions. If you're closing your business and you're not sure what all your assets are worth, let Able Auctions help. They've been helping BC business owners wind down and sell their business assets in an orderly manner for over 30 years. Whether you're a complete manufacturing plant, a restaurant, a mechanical shop, maybe you're a florist, Able Auctions has seen it and done it all. Email sales@ableauctions.ca and get your free of charge confidential consultation scheduled today. That's sales@ableauctions.ca. As we go to break, here's the scene we're talking about from I Love You, Man.
Look, she was kidding around.
I made reservations to play golf on Sunday for the four of us.
No, Pete, I told you, I don't play sports with women.
Look, man, you told my fiance she needs to give me blowies in front of my whole family, all right? You owe me.
You make a valid point.
It's golf. It's fun.